This is Marina Rapschnitsa. Elisha Ben Avuya was the teacher of Rabbi Meir, and we know how great Rabbi Meir was. Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Huda were basically the two big backbones of the Mishnah. Elisha Ben Avuya, as you just said, Howard, was one of the four who entered paradise, whatever that means. There was Ben Azai, Ben Zoma, as well as Akiva and himself. But when it lists those four people, it lists him not as Elisha Ben Avuya, but as Acher. And the general Gemara reference to him was a nickname, Acher. Acher, somebody else, another one. He even knew the Shem Hashem. And yet, although he was like a gadol in his generation for learning, he became the Abikoros, the greatest Abikoros. In order to become an Abikoros, you need to know a lot. And he became an Abikoros. And we're going to go through some of the ideas behind his life to try and understand why he turned that way and what lessons we can draw from it, in particular in respect of the month of Elul in which we now find ourselves. Rather oddly, the name Acher was given to him by himself. It's written that he visited a house of ill repute, and the hostess recognized him and said, "Aren't you Elisha Ben Avuya?" As if, you know, what are you doing in a place like this? And he said, no, I'm somebody else. And it was on Shabbos, and he dafka did a malocha by pulling a radish out from the soil or a flower pot to show that he's not really Elisha Ben Avuya, but he's Acher, I'm somebody else. And so that nickname was given to him then by the others. You have in front of you a handout from Keheles Rabbo, which goes through some of the events of his life. There is also a long piece in the Gemara Chagiga, Yudalud Tesvov, which does contain some of these points. And here the Medrash is talking about a posuk in Keheles, Tov Acharis Dova Mereshiso, which literally means that the end is better than the beginning. That the end is better than the beginning, and they were darshaning this in the Beis HaMedrash with Rabbi Meir. And when Rabbi Meir was discussing this with his Talmidim, Elisha Ben Avuya rode past on his horse, and it was on a Shabbos, and his Talmidim said to him, "Rabbi Elisha, your Rebbe," his former Rebbe, "he's outside on a horse, and looks as though he wants to speak to you." So Elisha Ben Avuya was greeted by Rabbi Meir, who kept up contact with him. Even though Elisha Ben Avuya went off the rails, Rabbi Meir stepped a respect for him because he learnt Torah from him. And Elisha Ben Avuya asked, "What are you learning, and how do you explain this pasuk?" And Rabbi Meir gave a number of explanations, and we'll go on to one of them. If we go on to the right-hand column, the last line, just above where it says Yad Yosef, if you look there, Dovar Acher, second word, Dovar Acher. Tov Acheris Dovar Mereshiso, so what does it mean? So Rabbi Meir says, Yesh Lecha Odom Shulamad Batara Ben Aruso. It means a person who learnt Torah in his childhood, Umashakho, but he forgets it, Uvizkenuso Chozer Alel, but he learns it again, it comes back to him again in his old age. And that is the Peshat, Havei Tov Acheris Dovot Merishiso. Omar Leis, so Elisha Ben Avuya said to Rabbi Meir, "That's not really the Peshat, is it? Rabbi Akiva Rabbecho, Rabbi Akiva, your Rebbe, your new Rebbe, the one who replaced me, so to speak, as your Rebbe. Lokach Omar." He did not say it that way, he explained the Peshat in a different way. Elotov Acheris Dovor Shu Tov Mereshiso. It means something which was good at the beginning remains good right through to the end. But if something is rotten from the beginning, then it stays bad right to the end. And Elisha Ben Avuya was trying to allude that this pasuk applies to him, because he was trying to say that the reason why he's fallen onto bad ways is because he was rotten from the beginning. That was his explanation. How does he mean this? Carries on the text. And he says, so this is in fact the story which happened in my life. He was trying to explain why he went off the derech. He says, Avuya Avi, my father, whose name was Avuya, Migdole Hadar, he was one of the choshuva people of his generation. Migdole Hadar doesn't mean here one of the great Rabbonim. He was one of the knackers, one of the leaders of his generation on the shul board or whatever it is. And so when it came to celebrating a simcha, he invited all the big shots. And when it came for him to give me my bris mila, he invited all the great Rabbonim of Yerushalayim. The great Rabbonim of Yerushalayim were the Tanoim, the earlier Tanoim. He called all these people. Rabbi Elezer, Rabbi Yeshua, and Rabbi Elezer was there, Rabbi Yeshua was there, Mohem. And when they were eating, Vashosu, and drinking, Soron Ilinomrin, Mzamurin, the Ilinomrin, Al Pachterin. What does this mean? It means there were other guests who started singing songs which were a bit songs of vanity. They were not Shirei Kodesh. There were other people who were reciting types of poetry, alphabetic acrostics, as the exact translation was. And they were occupied with the sorts of things which the Rabbonim were not interested in. Some say that the Rabbonim was sitting in a different room, but it was the same Seuda. So Rabbi Elezer, Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Elezer, Rabbi Yeshua, look, Ilin Askin B'Din Home. Look, those people are engaged in the sorts of activities that they wish to engage in, because on Zahait, unless someone Askin B'Din Home, so why can't we engage in the discussions that we want to involve ourselves in? Which implies that normally they wouldn't have got so involved out of respect to the proceedings and the simcha, but because other people got bogged down with what they wanted, so we can do what we want. So these Tanoim started discussing in great holiness and in great depth various aspects of Torah and Levim and Kesuvim. And when the Tanoim learnt Torah, this was no ordinary feat. This was not discussion at Hyde Park Corner. When the Tanoim spoke Torah, fire from heaven came down. I mean, this was the real thing, as if it was Torah Mihar Sinai at Matan Torah at Har Sinai. And the joy of giving Torah, because there has to be simcha when you're learning Torah, was like when Torah was given at Sinai, for Eish Melaheta Sivivo Seyan, and fire began to surround them. Eikon Nesinoson, no Misinai, Nosnu Be'esh. Well, was it not the fact that at Har Sinai the Torah was given with fire? Shinem, as it says, the mountain was burning with fire up to the heart of the heaven. But, you know, when there's fire going on in your front living room, you get a bit of a shock. So Avuya looks up and he says, what's going on here? He says, you're setting fire to my house. But this was no ordinary fire. This was the fire of Torah. And when Avuya realized what was really happening, he was very impressed. You're right, he was a stumble boss, but when he sees that Torah can do such amazing things, he began to realize that this was something very, very special indeed. Omar, after he had asked about, you know, what fire insurance have I got for my house, Avuya said, when I now realize how great the strength of Torah is, Haben Azer, my son, in Miskayimli, he should grow up and survive, of course. Hareini Nosnala Torah, I will dedicate him to Torah learning full time, that he should be Zoche to be so great like these Rabbonim are. So Elisha ben Avuya is dedicated to Torah. He grows up the way, he becomes great in his learning, but now he explains, he says to Rabbi Meir, but because my father's kavanah was not lishma, because he dedicated me to Torah, why? Because he wanted to be famous. It's not a mitzvah to be famous, but he wants his famousness for myself as well as for himself. And but it wasn't the Shema. The Torah learning wasn't the Shema. Therefore, learn is kind of be Tarosi. And that is why the Torah did not survive with me. That is his explanation why he went off the rails. Because his Torah was not the Shema. I mean, that was his explanation. There's some Peirushim who accept this as an explanation that we have to learn Torah Lishma, but come on, learning Torah Shalom Lishma, and they still become great. And does every person think at the bris of their son that they will dedicate him to Torah, and they still end up learning full-time, or even if not full-time, with their great in Torah? So, what is this explanation here? The truth is that this is Elisha ben Avuya's explanation why he is not great in Torah. It's not the explanation that the others were giving. And he was trying to find an excuse, maybe, why he had gone off the rails. Because as we know, every Russia tries to find an excuse for his misdemeanors. Even Haman found an excuse for trying to kill the Jews. Hitler tried to find an excuse for killing the Jews. Every Russia has an excuse for doing something wrong. So that was his excuse. And as we know, the psychiatrists of nowadays try to find reasons and justifications for people's behavior because of the way that they behaved or the way they were treated in their childhood. And these reasons might have some indication as to why a person's behavior is the way it is. But at the end of the day, these are not really excuses, because one still has to give a cheshbon for HaKadosh Baruch Hu at the end of 120 years. True that these might be things which a person might need counselling about or might need to concentrate on or whatever it is, but to say that there's something which happened in my childhood at my bris, there are those who will say, well, a bris milah is a special occasion, and what happens there is because bris is the covenant between one and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But the simple pshat is that this was his explanation why he went off the rails. Omar, we'll go back to the text. Avuya said, "How the kachu godol kocha shel Torah uma at omar tuvan." How do you understand this pasuk of Iyov? Lo ya'archen ozov zechuchis, gold and special glass like crystal can't equal it. That is Torah. Omar le uma at omar beis. So they exchange their views on what it means. Omar le elu divrei Torah shekashin. Not to acquire Torah like gold and crystal. Omalei, so Elisha ben Avuya said to Rabbi Meir, Akiva Rabbecho, he seems to know about Rabbi Akiva very well. Your Rabbi Akiva didn't explain it that way. Lo amakei. And amakei zov zuchuchis im nishbu yeshnem takonot. If they break, then there might be some sort of repair you can do to them. Af Talmid Chacham she'ibed mishnosa yacholu lachzor aleo. But a Talmid Chacham who's lost his learning, he could perhaps come back. Very strange that this comes from Elisha ben Avuya's mouth. Because he had Torah and he had to come back. And he's saying that it's possible to come back. Pardon? He hadn't forgotten that. So, but that was then the flow of the dialogue, because Rabbi Meir says to him, Omalei, Chazaoloch. No, sorry. This is now something else. Omalei, they were walking together, you see, and it was on a Shabbos, and Elisha ben Avuya says, Chazaoloch, we have to stop walking now. Rabbi Meir says, Omalei Loma, why? Atkan Tchum Shabbos, he says, because this is as far as the Tchum goes, 2,000 Amos. You can't walk any further. Elisha ben Avuya, he didn't care. He was riding on a horse. But he was worried for Rabbi Meir's sake. Listen, you should stop now. Omalei, so Rabbi Meir says, Minonat Yoda, how do you know that this is the Tchum Shabbos? Omalei, so he answered him, Matafi Susa, I know this from the hooves of my horse. Shekavah Holach Alpai Mama, it's gone 2,000 Amos. I don't know if he had some electronic trip meter or something which measured how far he was going on the horse, but he knew from the way his horse was riding that this was 2,000 amos. So Rabbi Meir asked him the obvious question, Omalei v'kol hadoch achmoso isboch, you are so clever and you're such a godel in learning, v'les at chozeboch, aren't you going to do teshuva? You know all this Torah, why don't you repent? You tell me that this is the tchum and I didn't know. For goodness sake, why don't you come back into the fold, into Yiddishkeit, and do teshuvah? Omalei, les b'cheli, he said, I can't. Omalei, lomo, why? Omalei, He said to him, Rochiv Ayisi al Asus, because I was riding on a horse, I was riding on my horse past the site of the Beis Hamikdash on Shabbos, which fell on Yom HaKippurim. Can you believe it? What holier day can you get than Shabbos, which falls on Yom Kippur? And I heard a voice, a heavenly voice, a bas kol coming from Shemayim, which was saying as follows. The Pasuk from Yirmiyah, Shuvu banim shavuvim. Return, O children who are sliding away. Shuvu elai v'shuvu aleichem. Return to me, Hashem says, and I will return to you. Familiar pasukim which we recite on Yom Kippur. So shuvu banim shavuvim, shuvu elai v'shuvu aleichem, chutz me'Elisha ben Avuyah, except for Elisha ben Avuyah shaya yodea kochi umarabi, who knew my strength and rebelled against me. There's still a baskel. He didn't seem to know that there is a halacha which says ein mashgichim bebaskel. We don't listen to a baskel. Lo bashamayimi, the Torah is no longer in heaven. Maybe he figured that ein mashgichim bebaskel applies to halachas that we go acharei rabin mahatos. But when it comes to a personal message, maybe it applies to him. See, he had this message from above. Listen, mate, there's no point for you doing teshuva. You're so far gone past the red line, don't bother. There is no hope for you. So how did he then really go off the rails? What really happened that made him decide to go off? He saw a person going up a palm tree on Shabbos. He took the mother bird and the baby birds, and he didn't fulfill the mitzvah of Kansipa, of sending away the mother bird. And he came down the tree, and he was okay. He managed safely. And then he saw a second incident of the Motzoi Shabbos, and after Shabbos, he saw a young man going up on a palm tree, but he sent away the mother bird in accordance with the mitzvah. And many say the version of this was that his father commanded him to do so. And he came down and a snake bit him and he died. And Omar Kassir, and it says in the Pasuk, and then what does it say? You should have a long life. So you should have a long life for keeping Kansipar, and you should have a long life for keeping Kibbud Avaim. And here what happens, he keeps both mitzvahs, and as soon as he keeps both mitzvahs, he dies. So he sees this happening. So where's the long life which the Torah promised? So as a result that the person did not get long life which the Torah promised, he went off the rails. He didn't realize Shadosha Rabbi Akiva, this Rabbi Akiva he knew so well, he didn't know this Shadosha Rabbi Akiva. L'man yitav loch ba'olam shekulo tov. It means in the Olam Haba, Karach Tayomim, and Olam Shikula Oruch. It's not talking about life in this world, it's talking about life in the next world. And he didn't understand it was talking about Olam Haba. So that is an explanation as to why he went off the rails. V'yeshomim, and some say, Alidei Shirol Shomish Shal Rabbi Yehuda Anachtum, this great Rav Rabbi Yehuda the Baker, Mosim Bafi Akelev, he's the tongue of this Rebbe in the mouth of a dog, Oma Ma Loshen Shigab Atarach HaYomov, which was the tongue which was talking to all his days, and all the more said this would happen than to others. It's not a fair life, he said. Omar and Cain, if that's so, matan schar letzadikim, there is no reward for the righteous, and there's no such thing as resurrection of the dead. That was his view. And there's a further explanation as to why he went off the rails, which we in fact discussed some while ago in our Kashrus Shia, Kishahois Imamu Verespo, when his mother was pregnant with him, Avra Albote of Ovodazora, she passed an idolatrous praise for Herechai, and she smelt the fragrance of burning of Avodazora, of cooking of Avodazora, Venosnu Lome Osamin, and they gave her to eat from whatever they were cooking, the Ochla, and she ate it, Voyamafafea Bichriso. And it was like burning in her stomach, Ka'arisa Shel Hakino, like the poison of a serpent snake. And because she digested this Avodah Zorah when he was pregnant, that affected the child. After a number of days, he became sick. Rabbi Meir, and they came to Rabbi Meir and they said to him, Elisha Chola, he is sick. Azar the Gabbai came to him, Omale, now is the time. Chazavach, do teshuva. Omale, Elisha ben Avuya said to Rabbi Meir, Ad Kazum Rekablim, I accept it's now, you know, it's a bit too late. There's no hope for me now. Omale, Rabbi Meir said to him, Velokasiv, does it not say, Toshe leno shabdako adduko shel nefesh? Hashem turns man into nothing. To life is crushed, but only at the very, very end Hashem squeezes a person. That there is still hope, even now, even when you're on your deathbed, there is still hope to do teshuva. But Osa Shor Bocha. At that moment, Elisha ben Avuya started crying. Bocha Elisha ben Avuya. He was crying. Umeis, and then he died. Vayar Rabbi Meir Someach. It's not a time to be happy when a person dies, but Rabbi Meir saw that he had done a teshuva, and that's why he felt relieved and he felt happy. But Omen, he said, because of his teshuva, that was the reason why he had died. The Kivin Shekavrua, and after they had buried him, a fire came and burnt on his grave. Often they came to Rabbi Meir again, Omrin to Rabbi Meir, and they said to Rabbi Meir, you haven't got all the words here, but Kever Rabbecho Nisraf, the grave of your Rebbe is burning. And it carries on that Rabbi Meir spread a talis over it and it stopped. And the simon of the talis over the grave was that he was the pupil who had learned so much Torah from Elisha ben Avuya. And it was to give as a chus to his neshoma that because so much Torah was taught by him to others, that those people who learnt Torah from him, all their zechusim would reflect on Elisha ben Avuya, and he would get a reward for that. And as a result of that, the fire went out on his grave. This is a most startling story. That somebody so great in Torah could go off the rails. There are some who say, and this is in the Gemara in Chagiga, that he was learning Greek philosophy, and he had the books of Greek philosophy hidden under his garments. And that's why another reason he went off the rails. But there are a number of burning questions which we've got a little bit of time for just to look at. First of all, we've discussed his reasons for going off the rails, which was his excuse, and every Russia has excuses, fine. But what about this bus code? Even if we don't listen to a bus code, is it right that something was said which was not true? He was being tripped. In a way, it was like an entrapment. Alright, he had done so many Averas, and therefore he was given to understand that Teshuva was not for him the same as it is for everybody else. And then there's another question. Why did Rabbi Meir continue liaising with him? You know, if a person becomes an Abikoros, then Rabbi Meir would surely say to him, look, you know, I've got respect for you, I learnt a lot of Torah from you, you're a nice guy and everything, but you know, you're an Abikoros now, and I'm very sorry, but it's not for really us to engage in conversation with each other. I'm worried about my children, and they'll be contaminated by you, and so on. You are somebody who has gone off the rails, you're ashamed to the Jewish nation. I'm sorry, it's not, and the halacha is, one doesn't associate with such people. So what was Rabbi Meir doing? And the Gemara in fact asks this question in Chagiga. And there's a bit of a struggle there. The Gemara says, Habagodol, Habakotom, that Rabbi Meir was a godol, he knew what he was doing, and we can have respect for Rabbi Meir, he was a Tanner after all. But although Rabbi Meir was so great in learning, well, Elisha ben Avuya was so great in learning. So was it right of Rabbi Meir to take such a risk? There is, in fact, a Gemara which alludes to the fact that when Hashem enjoys listening to the Torah of the Tanoim, but not of Rabbi Meir. That there was this axe to grind about Rabbi Meir. But Rabbi Meir's cheshbon must have been that he felt that as long as he keeps up contact with him, he'll might have some influence to him, and then he'll do teshuva. And that we do find people say, you know, I keep up contact with so-and-so, maybe they'll come back within the fold. it's a delicate balance. And when does one do it? When doesn't one do it? I mean, already back in the 1970s, the Adas broke off from the Board of Deputies because they were not going to sit at the same table with the Reform and with the Conservative movements. We're not sharing a platform with them. There are two problems. It's not just the fact that they might contaminate us and our children. It's the fact that we're giving them legitimacy if we're sitting on the same platform as them, if we sit together debating with them and treating them like equals. They have refused to accept the Torah Shemoneh Shemayim. Sorry, you can't be members of the club. If you don't conform to the rules of the club, okay, you can have your own humanistic movements, but don't claim Torah as your own if you don't accept that it's Shemoneh Shemayim. But there are always problems of balance. I mean, once my own parents had a dilemma shortly after they got married, 2 or 3 years after they got married, 17, and she had nowhere to go. So they took her into their home. And it was hard for them because they had only been married 2 or 3 years. They took her into their home and treated her like their own daughter, but the background she came from wasn't quite the Heimischer background that one might expect. And this girl had a brother who went to another home, and she started dating somebody who seemed to be parking the car around the corner on Shabbos. She was dating somebody, they were going to dances. So my mother asked her uncle, Dayan Posen, Tzadik Livracha, what do we do? So he said, look, he said, you're not going to marry her off to a yeshiva bocha. He said, show whatever Yiddishkeit you can in your home, show that a warm Torah home is something meaningful, and you will see something will stick. And that's all you have to do. And get her onto the chuppah, make sure she goes to mikveh, and that's all you can really do. So that's what they did. And she got married. And they settled in an area where there's a good united synagogue, and the children went to cheder. And those children have grown up, and their children go to cheder, and it carries on. And they're still proud of their Jewish roots. Whereas her brother, who went to another family, who didn't... So... there are times when we have to keep up contact. There are times when we've got these dilemmas. And we say, Dam Mala Hoshiv Labikoros, you have to know how to answer Labikoros, but that's to show with Torah, and if you want to go into the anti-missionary network and so on, yeah, there are people who do these things, but we have to be careful that we are possibly contaminating ourselves. There is still then this question about the bas kol. Was it emistic? Truly, the bas kol was basically saying to Elisha ben Avuya, look, you know, if you're going to do a teshuva, you've got to do a much bigger teshuva than everybody else. But the message which he didn't understand was that teshuva is always there and it's open for everybody. And had he just opened up the eye of a needle, Hashem says, then I will open up for you archways. His attitude was, I've got no hope. So he disillusioned himself with a number of things. He failed to understand the meaning of teshuva. He failed to understand the halacha of ein mashgich in bevas kol. And if he would have only picked up these ideas, he failed to understand the meaning of olam haba. So however great he was with his learning, he just went off on a tangent on these things, and it wasn't enough to say, oh, it was because of what happened at my childhood, at my baris. And a person who tries to focus reasons, it's his way forward in life. A person has to say, right, I'm now going to work out a way forward, I'm now going to accept these challenges, and accept these as personal to himself, and that way he will manage. And comes along Rosh Hashanah, comes along Yom Kippur, and one makes resolutions and say, this is how I'm going to do it. He had given up hope in himself. And that was the sad thing about him. There could be another idea behind the bas kol, saying that you've got no hope. Because what he had done was a chilul Hashem. What he had done as a leader of the generation. I mean, can you imagine? If Gordon Brown, the Prime Minister of Labour, would go over to the Conservatives, what a terrible busha that would be for the Labour Party. People may well go off Yiddishkeit as a result of it. So the leaders of our generation have to set that example and show that they've got this integrity. So what he did was a chilul Hashem, and according to the Rambam, only Misor is Mechaperis, only death can be Mechaper. Hence maybe that was why that as soon as he started crying, he then died, and that was Mechaper for his sins. We don't know. But a person must never give up hope. And last year we were discussing Yonah, and Yonah thought there was no hope. Yonah ran away because he thought there was no hope. And that was also a mistake. Comes along Rosh Hashanah, comes along Yom Kippur, every single person must say there is hope. Don't just say, well, I can keep this and I can't keep that, or I will set a standard and I will stick to it. One has to aim for tamimistic lifestyle, and one can get there because Hashem helps you when a person comes along. When a person comes along to do teshuvah, Hashem says, now I will come along and help you. And then a person finds it much, much easier. But only if that intention is there. So what greater example can there be than learning from the mistakes of such a person of Elisha ben Avuya? I'd like to end off with a Mishnah. You've got Sidurim in front of you. Let's quickly just have a look at a Mishnah. Elisha ben Avuya is normally referred to in the Gemara as Acher, by his nickname. That's Elisha ben Avuya before he went off the rails. But he's referred to as Acher. But if you turn to Pekei Avos, in the fourth chapter, he's actually referred to by name. He is referred to in Perek Dalad, Mishnah Kaf Hei, in the Tfilas Kopeh, it's page 276. Elisha ben Avuya Omer, he's quoted. He is given the honor of having his name in the Mishnayos, even though he went off the rails. Halamid Yeled Lemohu Dome, when a person learns as a child, what is he compared to? Like ink written on brand new paper. But when a person learns when he is old, what is it compared to? Like ink which is written on blotting paper. It becomes all blurred. So, alright, nice message of the Mishnah. It's nice to be able to learn when you're a young child because that sticks better. Whereas when you learn when you're old, it doesn't stick so well. So the question, where they refer to him as Acher, that other one. Here, he's referred to by name. He's given a kavod. Why is that? The message of this Mishnah is that when you're very young, it sticks. Your Torah is much better. And it seems that the message of this Mishnah is to give Musa back to Elisha ben Avuya himself. It's saying to him, look, you were learning from the time of your bris. Your father dedicated you to Torah from the time of your bris, which means that you were a very young child when you were learning. Rabbi Meir had two Rebbes. The first, who we know about, the first Rebbe was Elisha ben Avuya, who learned from when? From when he was a young child, from his bris. His second Rebbe, Rabbi Akiva, when did he start learning? When he was 40. His first Rebbe started learning from his bris, and his second Rebbe started learning when he was 40 years old. And who was the one who became the real Gadol Hador? Rabbi Akiva. So what is Elisha ben Avuya saying here? He's giving Musa to himself. I should have known better because I learnt from the time when I was a little child. So Rabbi Meir's first Rebbe learning from little child, his learning should stick. He should have been even greater than Rabbi Akiva. And Rabbi Akiva, who learnt in his old age, he was learning, so to speak, on the blotting paper. So we're giving Musa here back to Elisha ben Avuya. Don't you make excuses. You who said when you were still from that it's wonderful that the learning is from when you're a child because that's when the learning sticks. You've got no excuse. If anyone's got an excuse, it's Rabbi Akiva who started later. And look what became of Rabbi Akiva. He superseded you. He surpassed you. You had no excuse. Anyone who thinks that they can adopt the excuses of Elisha ben Avuya are proved wrong. by the very, very Mishnah which he taught us in Perkei Avos, Perek Revi, Mishnah Cafe. Every Rosh tries to find an excuse. I think in Yiddish they say, Fa'emfun. They always got an answer for what they're doing, but there's no answer at all. Because this Mishnah gives a slap in the face to Elisha ben Avuya, because he had no excuse, because he was given Torah from his very youngest age. Or as they say in the slang, he was FFB. And therefore, he should have not made all these tainus and excuses. So that is the lesson, which is the most amazing, frightening story of somebody unique in his generation, but from whom we can learn great Musa, that Teshuva is there for everybody. Don't try making excuses. We should all be zoche to a ksima lachsima tova, a git gebench dior, a shnas gula vishur for all klal Yisrael. Amen. Thank you.